Don Melody Club van op pure donzin en over onzin gesproken. Het is tijd voor de minuut met Maarten en de nieuwe Gonzo. Een van de grote dingen die op de nieuwe Gonzo staat, een van de blikvangers, is een hele special over ecologie.
Het is ook eigenlijk het thema van deze tijd. Klimaatverandering, ecologie, dat is eigenlijk het thema van deze tijd. Als je kijkt, afgelopen weken clashten eigenlijk beleidsmakers en activisten in Glasgow. Dat toont aan dat het eigenlijk wel een thema van deze tijd is. En aan klimaatverandering hangt eigenlijk ook heel veel vast. Daar hangen ook eigenlijk sociale dingen aan vast. Daar hangt eigenlijk ook bijvoorbeeld, als je kijkt, de crisis waar we nu in zitten, de coronacrisis, dat heeft eigenlijk ook wel linken met ecologie en de belasting die de mens op de samenleving of op de natuur of op de omgeving legt. Dus dat is echt wel een van de thema's van deze tijd. En we zijn eens gaan kijken van, ja, hoe vertaalt zich dat eigenlijk in de kunstensector? En we hebben eigenlijk een aantal mensen gaan interviewen die daarmee bezig zijn. Kunstenaars, muzikanten, beeldend kunstenaars. En we hebben ook aan Frank Kimenai gevraagd om daar iets te schrijven. Nu, veel mensen zullen Frank Kimenai niet kennen, maar Frank Kimenai was eigenlijk een van de mensen die vroeger achter het Tilburgse Incubate Festival zat. Incubate, voor de mensen die dat niet kennen, dat was eigenlijk het meest fantastische festival dat ooit bestaan heeft, denk ik, in de Lage Landen. Het was echt weergaloos, elke editie opnieuw. Maar Frank Kimenay is niet alleen iemand die in de muzieksector actief is, maar is eigenlijk een bioloog van opleiding. Dus die kent eigenlijk wel veel van die zaken. En we hebben hem eigenlijk gevraagd om eigenlijk vanuit zijn twee expertises eigenlijk om eens een blik te werpen op de samenhang van die twee zaken. En dat vertrekt eigenlijk vanuit die premisse van we zijn... Het is geen tijdperk van verandering, maar we zitten eigenlijk in een verandering van tijdperk. Eigenlijk, als je gaat kijken, eigenlijk, ja, het belastende tijdperk, het antropoceen, zoals het dan noemt, hè, waar dat dan ook linken in zitten met het neoliberalisme en zo, dat is eigenlijk een tijdperk waar dat je van ziet, dat is niet meer houdbaar. Dat tijdperk is niet houdbaar. Dus we zijn eigenlijk op dit moment in een veranderend tijdperk en hij gaat dan eigenlijk ook parallellen trekken tussen die veranderingen in ecosystemen die ontstaan en eigenlijk veranderingen die gebeuren in muzikale ecosystemen. Want vroeger had eigenlijk de platenfirma en heel het ecosysteem dat daar rondhangt. Artiesten zaten in een platenfirma en moesten dan platen gaan uitbrengen en dan hing daar van alles aan vast. Maar nu zie je bijvoorbeeld dat er veel muzikanten bijvoorbeeld gaan werken met funding via Patreon, waar dat bijvoorbeeld dan fans gaan betalen en dan kunnen ze eigenlijk zeer onafhankelijk worden. En dat zijn eigenlijk al veranderingen die je ziet. Of dat dan duurzame veranderingen op lange termijn zijn, dat is een vraag die je kunt stellen. Ik weet niet of we die nu kunnen beantwoorden, want dat gaan we binnen een paar jaar misschien gaan zien. En daarnaast hebben we eigenlijk in die ecologie special ook bijvoorbeeld een interview met Botanist. En dat is een gast die black metal maakt, komt uit San Francisco. Hij speelt op zijn hakkenbord en dat is de basis van zijn muziek. En hij heeft ook in zijn tekst zitten eigenlijk ook, vandaar de naam, veel botanische verwijzingen. Dus dat is een beetje de ecologie special.
Ja, en naast die ecologie... staan er ook andere interviews in de nieuwe Gonzo. Eentje daarvan is ook met Atmosphere.
Ja, Atmosphere, dat is een hip-hop duo uit Minneapolis. We hebben van het duo hebben we Slug, dat is de rapper eigenlijk, hebben we geïnterviewd. Atmosphere, ook weer voor de mensen die de band niet kennen, of de groep of de hip-hop duo, die zijn eigenlijk al 25 jaar actief, maar zoals hij zegt, het was eigenlijk de eerste keer, door de coronacrisis weer, was het de eerste keer dat hij zo lang thuis was. En dan gaat hij heeft een aantal kinderen, hij gaat eigenlijk reflecteren op de nieuwe plaat, reflecteert hij over zijn kinderen, omdat het, ja, hij ziet die nu veel meer opgroeien, dus hij gaat eigenlijk kijken van, ja, wat doet dat met mij? En hij zegt ook, ondanks alle shit die zowel corona, maar ook alles daarnaast, probeert hij toch kritisch en positief op een of andere manier te blijven en kijkt hij zo naar de samenleving. Dus dat is eigenlijk het interview met Sluik van Atmosphere.
Daarnaast is er ook tijd voor een label dat belicht wordt en dat is Pelagic Records.
Ja, Pelagic Records is eigenlijk een Duits label. Dat is voor liefhebbers van zware muziek. Daar zitten onder andere Arabrot, Lustmord en Karen Park zit daarop. Maar ook Belgische bands zoals Brickville en Psychonaut en Hippo Tractor. Dus voor de mensen die dat kennen, ja, dan weet je dat is zware muziek. Dat is eigenlijk, ja, dat is een label dat gelieerd is, zullen we zeggen. Of waar dat toch wel sterke banden zijn met bijvoorbeeld een festival als Roadburn in Nederland ook. En het is eigenlijk opgericht door Robin Steps en die is van The Ocean. Dat is ook eigenlijk een van die toch zware bands. Dus dat is Pelagic Records, ook zeer interessant. Die brengen ook altijd heel mooie dingen uit, mooie artwork en zo. Dat is wel zeer mooi gedaan.
En tot slot het coverstuk, of toch een van de coverstukken, interview met Tirza.
Ja, Tirza, ze bracht in oktober haar plaat Color Grade uit. En dat is eigenlijk een zeer mooie, ja, wat R&B-achtige plaat. En daar zitten ook zeer zo wat trip-hop R&B. En daar zitten ook, dat is ook, ik hoorde daar straks de naam Mika Levy vallen. Wel, zij speelt op die plaat de baslijnen. Dus er zijn toch linken met wat hier daar straks ook al gedraaid is. En in het interview gaat het eigenlijk over hoe dat zij creativiteit gebruikt. Hoe dat zij haar muzikant zijn ervaart. En eigenlijk ook wel zeer grappig, maar te lezen over polarisatie rond tortellini.
Tortellini. Oké, dat is een mooie afsluiter. Je hebt ook een nummer gekozen van op de nieuwe Mind the Gap CD. En jouw oog is gevallen op een landgenoot.
Ja, een landgenoot, Lennart Jacobs. En die zat vroeger bijvoorbeeld bij Rape Blossoms. Toch wel een van die onderschatte Belgische bands. Zat ook, of zit ook, bij The Germans. En maakt eigenlijk solo, zo wat ambient-achtige muziek. En het is ook een heel mooie titel. Westende.
Oké, okay, Maarten, bedankt. En volgende keer zorgen we dat de twee micro's van in het begin alle twee werken. Hier is Westende van Lennart Jacobs. Van Lennart Jacobs van op de nieuwe Mind the Gap CD. Binnen twee weken is hier trouwens ook de gast in de studio, in onze nieuwe studio hier in hal vijf. Dan interview met Claire Rousey. Ja, ze trad vorige week op in Les Ateliers Claus. En voor haar concert wisten we haar te strikken voor een interview. En om te beginnen vroegen we haar na haar soundcheck in hoeverre ze rekening houdt met de ruimte waarin ze haar live optredens doet.
It's less about the EQ and like the actual sonic quality and more of the material that's performed. Because depending on the people in the room and how many people or like what their interaction with the music is like as the set goes on, I make certain choices. So the set I play tonight won't be the same as the set I played a couple days ago. Just because when different people come, it's, you know, I like to fit myself into the situation as if we're kind of all just interacting equally. So instead of forcing whatever I want to do, kind of paying attention to what's going on. So if the bar is really loud somewhere, I'll play louder the whole time. if people there, like if there's a lot of, because I use a lot of text and voice in my set. So depending on where I am in the world, like the text will be emphasized or not, depending on, you know, like the ability to communicate using text and language and everything. So it's kind of really depends on geographically where I'm at, and also the physical, like the way the room is and the way it sounds in the room with people interacting with it.
Field recordings are also an element of your music. Do you sometimes record sounds during the day and then incorporate them into your live show? I mean, yeah. that quick on the ball?
Yeah, definitely. I played a show in Brighton on the 29th of October, so at the beginning of this tour. And I soundchecked, and I was standing outside kind of getting some air between, there's two people that performed before me, and it was between the first person and the second person. And this woman came by and she saw my name on the sign and she said, "Claire, like, I wanted to see her. I really want to see her." And her boyfriend was saying, "No, she's bad. We don't need to see her." And I was outside and they didn't see me because I had a hood on with a hat and everything. And I was wearing my big coat and I was kind of just in the corner trying to, you know, like cool down and get ready to play. And she was really asking her boyfriend, like, please let me go to the show. And he said, "No, we don't need to see that. I know way better shows going on." And I didn't have any kind of like field recorder, but I did have my phone. So I got it. And when I played my set, that was the first thing I did. I just plugged my phone in and pressed play and then kind of built everything around that because I thought it was just so perfect. And she said my name multiple times. So it's, even if she wasn't in the venue, people know that she's talking about. And the whole time her boyfriend keeps saying, no, she's bad. We don't like it. It's amazing. It was so perfect. I didn't think it would, you know, like, I couldn't capture it better than I did. It was amazing.
Thank you. Come out.
Diluted Dreams van op A Softer Focus, album van Claire Rousey. Daarnet hoorde je al een eerste stuk interview waarin ze vertelde hoe ze rekening houdt met haar, of beter gezegd hoe ze op live optredens rekening houdt met eigenlijk meer met de omgeving, de manier waarop dat de mensen reageren, hoe dat de mensen zijn, dan daadwerkelijk echt zuiver klank. Plus ook een leuke anekdote over hoe ze is een paar weken geleden een geluidsfragment op straat opnam van iemand die niet naar haar concert wou gaan. En heeft dat maar gebruikt in haar live set. Nog meer interview. Ze heeft haar eigen label, Men of Dreams, een sublabel van American Dreams. Wat was eigenlijk het idee achter dat label?
Jordan Reyes, who runs American Dreams, asked me if I wanted to have a place to release different kinds of music and music where I would have more control over how it's released, because in the past I've released music with a lot of different labels and a lot of people work, I mean, you know, everybody works a little bit differently and it can be confusing, especially when people are like, everybody has their hand in like one piece of your music, and some of my music is just one track and it's like 20 minutes instead of having a whole record. So it's like, one person has this track, one person has this track, somebody has this, and like, whenever I need to use something or do something, it's really hard to like coordinate with people, especially when they're all across the world. So I found a way where I basically asked all the labels if I could reissue the music that came out on their label under my label, so I just have, you know, control over how it comes out and like how reissues are done and what medium they're done in. So some of them are coming out as cassette releases that were digital only. Some things that came out as cassettes are coming out as vinyl next year. So Men of Dreams is kind of like a home for collaborations between myself and other people, and then reissues from prior to that label existing. But everything that comes out on that label, I play on. There's no music that's going to come out on that label that isn't, you know, something that I make with either a friend or some, you know, somebody else.
Mm-hmm. In May, there was a cassette that came out on Men of Dreams. It was a collaboration with Patrick Shiroishi.
Yeah.
How did you two meet up?
I'm trying to think. We made that during one of the more intense periods of the COVID lockdown and self-isolation. So we actually made the whole thing just sending tracks back and forth to each other, which is really nice. And neither of us had really started and finished a record like that before, like entirely over email.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we came up with this idea that we wanted the music, the whole album, to sound like the idea was we wanted it to sound like somebody playing music in the room over there, like across the house or something. So somebody playing music in the other room and kind of like faintly hearing it through the wall, and then like doing whatever task you're doing in that room, and then kind of having that in the background, which is like really interesting. So, you know, Patrick usually plays saxophone and does like a lot of like reeds kind of stuff, but he played guitar and piano and made a bunch of field recordings, and I kind of did the same thing. I played guitar and piano and synthesizer, and it was kind of a learning, you know, process for both of us, either because of the long distance collaboration, but also playing different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously he knows how to play all of those instruments well. I don't. So I kind of took his choices and asked him if he trusted me to make some of the same choices. But it actually ended up turning out really nice.
Mm-hmm. One instrument you didn't mention is the drums, and I know you play drums. What's the status with that? Are you still actively playing that?
Yeah, I mean, I like to play the drums. I think the context to which I play the drum, like whatever context I play the drums in, is a little bit different now. I wasn't having fun doing it, so I stopped. And that seems like a pretty, you know, basic choice to make. If something isn't fun, you don't do it. But there are a lot more things tied up in that, obviously, as somebody who played drums for like different groups and like playing drums all the time. Mm-hmm. Especially as like a job. So I kind of just stopped doing it because I didn't like it anymore, but I'm kind of getting back into it. I would still consider myself like a drummer because it's the only thing I really know how to do. Like, whatever I'm doing now is all things that I've learned in the last 2 or 3 years. Whereas drums is something I've been doing for like 15 or 20 years at this point. But yeah, I consider myself a drummer. I just made a record with Macy Stewart and Leah Cole on violin and cello, respectively. I was in Chicago for 3 days, and we went to the studio, and I played drum kit, and then they both did voice and violin and cello. So that'll come out at some point. But yeah, it's, I still do the very specific, like, freely improvised kind of, you know, like, quieter improvisation stuff. It was amazing, though. That record's going to be really good.
Brushed Too Hard, Patrick Shirishi samen met Claire Rousey. Rousey, die release dus op haar eigen label Mended Dreams uitbracht. Ze verzamelt trouwens al haar muziek op dat label. Qua rechten en zo is dat ook gemakkelijker om alles in één plek te hebben, op één plek te hebben. Vandaar dat het label is opgericht. In de online muziekrecensiewereld was er een tijdje terug wat te doen over het feit dat er de laatste tijd, ook tijdens corona en mede dankzij Bandcamp, veel te veel middelmatige ambient en abstracte elektronica uitkomt. De perfecte gelegenheid eigenlijk om aan Claire te vragen hoe zij daar zelf over denkt.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has made something that they, you know, don't 100% stand behind anymore. Right? Somebody makes a record when they're 17 and then they're 35. They obviously are going to feel differently about it. Whether or not they choose to continue to champion it is kind of different. But I feel like it's the same thing, just in a shorter time span because of COVID and lockdown and everything. Like, that really played a huge part, I think, in, like, obviously my creative process, but I think a lot of people. And because time is moving so slowly, I think something you make in March may not feel the same as it does in September, because you've had so much time to consume and so much time to think about what you're making and what you want to make. And having the space to do that maybe makes things kind of get old faster. But the ability to upload and, like, accessibility, I think blaming substandard music on that is, you know, I don't think that's correct. Because obviously having things, you know, accessible to, like, a lot of different kinds of people with a lot of different, you know, levels of resources, that's always a good thing. Like, the fact that anybody can upload a track to SoundCloud or Bandcamp or something like that, like, that is good. There's nothing actually bad about that. The quality of the music, I mean, like I said earlier, I don't care about fidelity, but obviously, you know, if you, like, hold a note on a synthesizer for 2 hours and then you're like, I made the greatest 2-hour song ever, that's great if you think that, because then, you know, you're the person that gets to consume it and think that and share it. I also think, like, assigning value to music and rating things, especially with, you know, like, on a numerical scale and stuff like that, that's totally bogus. That sucks. But just assigning, like, I don't know, like, good and bad to music that you didn't make and you don't know anything about kind of seems wrong to me. Like, I think it's so much easier just to not consume something, because making it and putting it into the world apparently is so easy. Why is it not, like, just as easy to ignore it and consume it? If it's, you know, you're like, oh, everybody can do this, it's like, well, then anybody can ignore it too. And, like, I don't know that much about the internet or anything, but it's like, it's not like you're filling up space that, like, could be taken by somebody else. I know that technically that, you know, some stuff works like that. But I mean, like, one person uploading their SoundCloud track is not going to, like, totally tank the, like, you know, the world, and, like, our ecosystem isn't going to completely rot because of that. That's not what's doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, the servers aren't the thing that, like, from Bandcamp are, like, not the thing that's destroying the world.
Mm-hmm. The end of the year is approaching, and so that also means best of the year lists. You mentioned that rating music and that kind of stuff is not really your thing, but do you make end of the year lists?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I think it's, I think, at least in my head, the end of the year lists, I mean, some people like to rank them in order. I don't really like to do that, but making a list of things that, you know, you're grateful for, or things that, like, helped you out or made you feel something, I think that there's nothing that's bad about that. So yeah, like, I definitely have a bunch of records that I'm so thankful that came out this year and that, you know, touched me in a place that, like, I would never be able to make music that does that, which is really fantastic that you can do that. But yeah, no, I love end of year lists. Do you want to hear records?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Oh man, I keep a running list on my phone, so I'm totally gonna look at my phone right now. Because there's so many things that came out that I really, really liked. So I'm trying to, like, make sure that I don't forget.
Is that something you could maybe incorporate into your NTS playlist?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I definitely want to do an end of year one. I have a show that's coming out this month that is all like post-hardcore and like emo from the 90s. So that's not that one, but the next one's going to be an end of year thing. But the Aaron Dilloyan, Lucrecia Dalt record that came out, Lucy and Aaron, it's so good. That's like one of the best records of the year. But also my friend Devin Schaefer made this record that also came out in American Dreams. And that one was probably one of my favorite records of the year. In my dreams, I'm there. Those are two, but, you know, there's a ton. Lawrence English also put out Observation of Breath. That one was really good. That's like one of the records that is like long and somebody holding a lot of notes and like doing like drum stuff. And I'm like, no, it's amazing. Lawrence is the best.
Kissing in the Park van Devin Schaefer, een van de favorieten van Claire Rousey. Nog laatste stukje interview en daarvoor hebben we het niet erg ver gezocht. Claire die had vroeger eigenlijk ook een show op een Amerikaanse community radio, maar wat draaiden ze daar nu precies?
I had a show on KRTU, which is a community radio station, and basically during the daytime it's jazz music and hosted in San Antonio, Texas. And it's a community radio station, but it's, you know, transmitted on FM radio throughout Texas. When I was doing that show, I primarily liked to select new music. So basically anything that came out within the last month or so would be what I made the show out of. And genre and, you know, like style or like even fidelity, like didn't matter at all. I didn't care about any of that. So it could be like somebody making a recording of them singing and playing guitar on their iPhone and sending it to me. And that I would program that just as much as I would program like the new whatever, like, you know what I mean, like one of the like John Coltrane reissues or like remastering or whatever, and it would just be, you know, equal importance. And I think that was kind of brought into my NTS show. Obviously with the community radio station there are a lot of ethical boundaries that I or ethical guidelines I had to operate within, so I couldn't play my own music or music that I had a hand in, because it would be unethical to put that on the radio through, like, whatever the guidelines there are. But with NTS, there are no rules. So, NTS, I kind of like to do the same thing where I prioritize everything in the same way. But I do have a lot of original material, and especially stuff off of upcoming records that I've been playing on my NTS show. So I'll take, like, a hardcore band from the 90s, and they have like a live video of them playing on YouTube, and I'll just take the YouTube video and export the audio and just put that into NTS, like onto the NTS show, and then I'll also play like a really beautiful track that like was mixed and mastered over the course of 6 months, and that's coming out, you know, next year, and it'll be like right next to each other. Really taking the whole like sound collage thing to the next level. It's a little jarring at times.
It's funny to me that there are actually less rules on NTS than there are on the community radio.
It is kind of funny. I think NTS just is a little bit more forward-thinking than, like, some radio stations, because especially in the States, they have all of the radio that's FM has to operate under the same kind of rules. So there can't be any talk about, like, certain subject matter and, like, certain language can't be used. You can't play music that is, like, over a certain length because the listener will... It's, like, offensive. And that's nothing that has to do with the radio station. Like, they were very, very lenient and accepting of my choices. But after a certain amount of time, I kind of just wanted to be able to do really whatever I wanted, and NTS has been very nice about that.
Ja, Claire Rousey, je kan haar dus, of je kan haar radioshow op NTS beluisteren. Trouwens, nog iets kort over dat concert in Les Ateliers Klaus. Een heel erg tof concert. Trouwens ook heel erg grappig. Lang geleden dat ik tijdens een ambient concert zo hard gelachen heb. Het was eigenlijk iemand die dat uitleg aan het doen was over sociale media met een beetje zelfspot. Dat was een heel, heel toffe quote dat er in haar set in zat. En daarmee sluiten we het hoofdstuk Claire Rousey af. Hebben we Nate Schiebel, een release die oorspronkelijk uitkwam in 2017 op ACR, het album Fairfax. Heel introvert, elektroakoestisch. En gaat nu in februari uitkomen op vinyl, geremasterd door Lawrence English. Van op het album Fairfax is het Thrill to Death van Nate Schiebel. Thank you.
sweetheart, a good amount of time has gone by since I first began this tape. And by now the surgery is all over with and I'm at home in my own little bed. It's Wednesday, the 23rd, and I'm by myself. And I'm wishing, and I am wishing that you were with me and that you could hold me in your arms. I feel very lonesome right now and don't feel terribly well. And so all in all, I'm just, I just really need you right now and I wish you were here. With any kind of luck, you'll call me on the weekend. And I seem to remember that you told me you'd call me either Saturday or Sunday. And I'll be awfully glad. I just wish you were here to put your arms around me. I need that, darling, and I keep it in my mind that October's going to be here. And when it comes, that you're never going to have to leave again. And that keeps me going, and that keeps me praying for your safe return. Because I do love you, and I do need to be with you. Never to leave you again, and never to have you leave me again, one day at a time. Somebody out here to fix it, and that cost me almost $70. It cost me $125 to get out of the hospital. Believe me, I'm going to be an absolute pauper by the time you get back, and I didn't want that, but I can't help it, sweetheart. When I talked to you Sunday, you sounded awfully angry, and I couldn't understand why. I hope that there was nothing wrong, and if there was, I hope maybe we can talk about it when you do call this weekend. We don't need to have secrets from one another, and we shouldn't be snapping each other over a long-distance phone.
Thrilled to Death, Nate Schiebel van op het album Fairfax. Gaat dus in februari uitkomen op Warm Winters Limited op vinyl. Dan hebben we nog een Japanner, Toshimaru Nakamura. Zijn album Culvert, No Input Mixing Board 10, komt uit op Room 40. Ja, glitchy elektronica, geïnspireerd door de rivieren in Tokio die overdekt zijn geworden. Van op het album is dit NIMB No. 63 van Toshimaru Nakamura.